It is time once again for Open Court with Fairfield basketball coach Chris Casey, along with the coach. I'm Bob Huechler, joined by my broadcast partner, the former Fairfield great and Hall of Famer Joe DeSantis. And we're talking with Chris Casey following Fairfield road losses against Manhattan and Merrimack to open this MAC season. And as the Stags get ready for a non-conference game against former MAC rival Monmouth. And a reminder that the player edition of Open Court this time around features Declan Wooker-Fennig, who's off to a great start in his first year as a Stag. So be sure to look for the player edition version of Open Court coming soon if it has not yet already dropped. So, Chris, first of all, thanks for hanging in there with us as you're battling, from the sounds of things, a rough cold here. You told us as before we went on the air that this is something that hits you, what, once every 3-4 years? It's
somewhere like that. I don't keep track.
A rarity.
I'm fine, Bob.
You're hanging in there. We know. Believe me, Joe and I deal with the same stuff on a regular basis. I do. So thanks for hanging in there with us as you're under the weather. But the show goes on, and to talk about the most recent game first, we'll talk about Manhattan and Merrimack, but we'll use your own words. You're down 24 points early in that game, and you said after the game you have to be ready to play hard from the opening tip. We found the guys that wanted to do that midway through the first half and went with them for the rest of the game. So before we talk about those specific players who were eventually ready to kick it into gear for you, is there any way of putting your finger what went wrong at the start of that game? Why were some guys sluggish out of the gate? Because obviously you can't get down 24 in a game and have a realistic chance of winning, although you did make a great, great comeback in that game.
Yeah, can I put my finger on it? No. There's no exact thing I can say that attributed to it. They played well. We didn't. We didn't finish some plays early on. You know, you go on the road in these games on the league, and you understand sometimes you might dig a 7-8 point hole to start the game. You can't dig a 24-point hole. And there was I called a couple timeouts. There wasn't a significant response, so I went with different guys. And those guys went on a 34-11 run or whatever it was and got it to a 1-point game on consecutive possessions. So kudos to those guys. They did a great job of bringing us back, those young guys.
All right, let's talk about that, because the guys you found, as you put it, were the ones who started the second half, Tony Butter-Williams, Halon Rawlins, and Braden Sparks was good from the start. And, of course, the other freshmen, Brandon and Declan. So do we draw conclusions from that one game, particularly the second half, and when you started inserting those guys who responded, specifically Butter-Williams, Halon, have they earned even more minutes, at least in the near term, as we go forward here?
Yeah, I don't think you draw conclusions other than to say they did a great job of bringing us back. You know, the young guys are talented, and you can see that in Declan and Brandon Benjamin, obviously. And Tony's starting to show that some, and Halon has showed it some, too. Halon did a good job of playing within himself in that game. So conclusions, no, I don't think you do. But, those guys are certainly going to get opportunities to continue to play.
The flip side of this is you can't sugarcoat the numbers we're seeing right now for some of the players. Let's start with Deuce Turner. He's had a roller coaster start to his Fairfield career, down, then way up, and down right now. What are you seeing? Is he healthy? Are there things that we don't know about that are causing him to struggle recently? How do you put your finger on it? And what are the solutions as far as Deuce is concerned?
No, he's healthy. There's nothing physically wrong with him. He's playing inconsistently. And, he's got to – what we need him to do is be aggressive right from the start in games and try to impact games right from the start. And this is not any – it's the same conversation I've had with him, and it's well-received by him. Now he's got to do it. He needs to impact games from the start, and he needs to play to make the game unfold, not let it unfold and then react. So he's gotten that message, and we'll see what he does with it.
This just popped into my head. He's a former sixth player of the year in a pretty good conference. Is that a role maybe – I'm just throwing this out there. Is that a role that might be better suited to Deuce, maybe somebody who comes off the bench?
It might. I mean, we'll see as we go forward in the games, you know. You know, we had a rough weekend, but we're also coming off 5-3 in the month of November. And, you know, we won 5 games in the month of November. That's the most games won by a Fairfield program in the history of program in the month of November. You know, and 2 of those games are up games with Seton Hall and Penn State. So, you know, there's no panic. You know, we obviously wanted the weekend to go better, and there's guys that have to play better. You know, so we'll work on those things in practice, and Deuce is one of those guys, and he knows it. That's got to step up and play better.
Yeah, definitely no panic, considering you have 18 league games still to go. I don't want to belabor the Deuce subject, but he's a high-profile player, and we have seen some great minutes from him so far, still early in his Fairfield career. You say he's accepting the lessons that you're trying to impart. What are you seeing in practice as far as his response to what you're asking him to do? You can't simulate, as you said, the start of games. You need more from him in right out of the gate. But how about the translation from practice to those game situations?
Well, coming off this last game where his minutes were limited based on the fact what those young guys did, he practiced a lot better yesterday and today. So we'll see, you know, we'll see if that holds. You know, I'm a one day at a time guy, Bob. So, you know, today I like practice. I thought it was very good. I thought he was very good. So we'll see where that goes.
Chris, going back to the 2 games, technically speaking, I keep saying Hartford, John Gallagher, Manhattan, threw a zone at you, and then you have to go play Merrimack less than 48 hours where you never, ever, ever, ever practice against a team that plays that type of zone. What problems did that give you? And if you were to play them again, would you play them differently? Just talk to me about, you know, the playing against the zone and the short rest in between playing against the zone on steroids, I call it.
Yeah, honestly, if you watch the tape, I thought against the zone, we did a decent job against it. We got the ball in the spots where it needed to go. We had some very good possessions. We had a few too many turnovers. It wasn't an astronomical amount. We needed to turn it over probably 4 less times in the game, try to stay in that, you know, 10%, 12% turnover rate. It was more on the defensive end. Our transition defense was not good. We didn't locate shooters. We didn't do a good job of matching up to shooters, and that's what young guys do. And, you know, you give up threes when you did that, and most of the threes they got was us in transition not getting back, not sprinting back, not getting matched up. So that hurt us. And the other thing, you know, young guys got to learn is how to guard hard without fouling. You know, we fouled too much in that game and put them on the foul line. You know, offensively, I'm not going to say we were great, but I thought against the zone, I thought we did a decent job of executing some things against the zone, getting the ball where it had to go.
I know it comes down to more than just statistics, staying with the defensive end, because you said that concerned you more than even your execution against the zone. Right now, you're allowing 76.5 points per game. I know that that number will come down. When will you know that things are beginning to gel as far as things are considered defensively? I'm talking about in the laboratory, in practice, because that's obviously going to translate eventually to games. But what are you seeing right now when you work with these guys on defensive concepts? How far do you need to go before it all begins to gel and get to where you need it to be?
I don't know if there's a drop-dead date on that, Bob. I think it's a battle every day. You have to, you know, get them to do it every day defensively in practice, and hopefully that carries over to the game. So I don't think there's an arrival date on it, you know, where, okay, we're good at it now. We don't have to work on it. I think you have to consistently work on it, and we do. You know, so there's no real moment in time where I can say, all right, we're good with that now. We can move forward. I think when you have veteran groups and guys that have returned for 2-3 years, that's a little more possible to happen. But with a new group, I don't think there's an arrival date for them where you can say, okay, now they're good defensively.
Yeah, I guess what I was trying to say is conceding the fact that some people look at offense and the way offense is operating and the way there's a fluidity to that. But I think people take for granted how that also applies at the defensive end, and you've got a lot of disparate parts on this team. And so, yeah, I'm conceding it does take time. So maybe I'll put it this way. Are you seeing the progression you need to see as far as it coming?
Yeah, in spots, but it's got to be consistent. No, you can't give up, you know, 60% from the floor and 50% from the floor in the first half,
right,
and then hold them to 33 and 30 in the mm-hmm. second half. You can't do that. And we did that in the New Hampshire game, too. You can't give up 60 and right. 50 in the first half and then hold them to 18 and 13 in the second half. So there's a lack of understanding from younger guys how hard you have to play and how consistently you have to play hard, you know, to win games on a Division I level. So that's always a work in progress, and we'll keep working on it.
You mentioned the young guys. We talked about how you basically went with, well, four freshmen there at the start of that second half against Merrimack. Let's revisit Tony Butter Williams, because he plays, you know, some people consider the point guard position, you know, about as important a position as there is on the team. How much growth have you seen from, we'll talk about him in particular, Tony, from the beginning of, well, the summer till now, and where are we looking as far as his growth is concerned as this season unfolds?
Well, the thing that, you know, to Tony's credit that he's done, and he's certainly been encouraged to do this, is, you know, just treat every practice like it's a game, you know, because at some point your button's going to get pushed and we're going to need you and you're going to have significant opportunities. So, you know, his opportunity has been spotty, you know, some more minutes in games and other games not maybe as much. He had significant minutes in that game against Merrimack and he produced. And it's because of the way he approaches things and because of the way he practices every day and his mindset, you know, that's what allowed him to do that. So credit to him for doing that. And when we needed him, he was ready and he played well.
He did. We've asked you about Deuce. I have to ask you about some of the other veterans in terms of college basketball experience, Cam Estevez and also Eric Mejia, who is a junior college transfer, but certainly has enough experience to look at them and say, all right, are you getting what you want out of these guys? Where are they at right now, and where do they need to get to in order to get back into more, you know, more consistent minutes?
Well, we need more from both of them. You know, Eric had a stretch where he was playing well, and he's tailed off, and Cam has to get it going. He has not done that yet, so we need more from both of them. Both of them need to play better, and both of them need to give us more. And that happens through the practice floor. If you practice consistently every day and you give an effort every day and you do an extra work on your own every day, that's where you get an opportunity to produce in games because you're ready. You know, so that's what we need from both of those guys is more production in games, and you're going to get that through what they do every day in practice.
Well, let's get to the easy part of this, talking about how well some of the freshmen, the two in particular, Brandon Benjamin and Declan Walker-Fenwick, have been playing for you. I don't think you could ask for more, but how much more are you going to ask for them? I mean, you're the best rebounding team in the league, and that was a liability for you last year. And a lot of what Fairfield is doing as a rebounding team this year is obviously a result of what you're getting from those two guys. So what's the ceiling for these guys? I have a feeling it's pretty high.
Yeah, I think they're only going to keep getting better because they work, you know, and they take to the coaching and they got great mindset and great approach to everything. So I'm really proud of both of them. I'm happy for both of them. They're playing well and they're playing extended minutes and they deserve those minutes and we need them to keep playing well.
How much offensively can things run through them? And they're both, you know, they both had good scoring games, but could we look to even maybe their numbers getting called even more as this season unfolds?
Yeah, I mean, that's possible. Their numbers are called a bunch of times. It's kind of hard to do that against zone, to call somebody's number. Mm-hmm. I thought Declan played really, really well in the high post against both zones. You know, so a little more difficult to do that against the zone. But yeah, that's possible. Really what we need is we need a couple more perimeter guys to play well. Mm-hmm. Give us a little more scoring, give us a little more pop on the perimeter.
Chris, how about Sparks? How has he been for you? I know he struggled with the ball last game, one assist, four turnovers, but 21 points. How has he been in terms of producing for your team?
He's been great.
Good.
I have no, you know, he's an everyday guy all the time. And he's the same guy, whether it's going good, whether it's not going good. He's my kind of guy. you know, because he's there every day for you. He's obviously having a very, very good season. He did have a couple, you know, difficult moments with turning the ball over late in that game. But, you know, you can't – you got to look at the whole day and the whole effort he gave during the game and his production during the game, which was significant. So he's been terrific for us, and you know, he's a guy that we need to be good every day.
And he's one of your tri-captains, and leadership is obviously as important as ever. It is on every team. You have Braden as a captain. You have Deuce Turner as a captain and Luke Davidson as a captain. We spoke with Declan this week on the player edition of the podcast, and we see him emerging as a leader on this team, and he sees himself as somebody who, as in the future, can be one of the leaders of this team. You agree with that, I'm sure. Are there any others who are lending their voice, literally, in a leadership capacity that maybe we don't know about?
Yeah, the younger guys are. You know, Tony shows some leadership. He's always talking in practice. Declan picks his spots and leads us. Brandon Benjamin does some leading, you know, but his energy and his enthusiasm for everything we do is infectious, and he'll vocally speak up. So those young guys are doing a good job of trying to assume some level of leadership role, and I want them to.
Mm-hmm. Chris, I'm curious about Ryan Zan. I know he went through the sickness. Is that still affecting him? You expect more from him?
Yeah, he's working his way back from that. That takes a minute to come back from. And, you know, he hadn't played a game up until like a week ago. He hadn't played in any type of game since the VCU situation, which was right around the time he was starting to get sick. So, yeah, he's working his way back. And I'm fully confident he'll be fine. He just needs a minute.
And Isaac, who got some pretty good run against Manhattan, only played a minute against Merrimack. Is he okay? And if he is okay as far as his health is concerned, what does he need to get more minutes now?
Yeah, he's fine health-wise. We had some foul trouble early in that Manhattan game, right, with Declan, with Brandon.
Right.
So we got him some minutes there. He did some good things. You know, that zone that Merrimack plays may not be the best situation for him to be on the floor based on his skill set. So I expect him to help us a lot against Monmouth. They're bigger and a little bit more physical. So we'll look to him to get him some minutes and for him to help us in that one.
Speaking of Monmouth, that comes at the end of the week. Exams start this week for Fairfield, I believe. We're talking to you on a Tuesday. I think exams start on Thursday. So it's, from your standpoint, there's a balance here. This is a critical time for these guys academically. You balance it with what you're doing the practice floor pre-Monmouth. How does the week unfold for you? How do you handle that balancing act?
Yeah, so exams will start on Thursday, and we practice based on the exam schedule. So we did practice today. We did practice yesterday. We're taking tomorrow off. That's a reading day. I wanted to get the day before final start as a day off for everybody to get final preparations for exams and get, you know, final assignments and projects in. And then we'll be right into exams on Thursday. So we'll keep our same routine Thursday, Friday, and practice in the morning based on the way the schedule is. We'll have to do some alterations to that on Saturday. There's a bunch of guys that have tests on Saturday for exams. So we'll make some adjustments to that, but pretty close to our normal routine.
Okay. I want to throw a number at you because I know it's one you look at. It's pace. And right now in the MAC, you're sixth in pace, and pace is possessions per 40 minutes. You're averaging close to 70 per 40 minutes. And as I said, you're sixth. You're right in the middle of the league. I know that's an important number for you. Where is that going to go as the season progresses, and how do you get there?
Well, we're going to try to get it higher. You know, we want to try to play at a little bit faster pace if we can. There's some things that go into that. You got to lessen your turnovers. You have to get more stops defensively so you can get out and transition. I think we're rebounding the ball very well defensively and offensively, so that's not a concern. You know, my concerns right now are consistent play from everybody and our ability to understand defensively that you have to play every possession defensively in order to get stops and in order to have an opportunity to win the game. You don't want to be a team that plays in spots. And we did that against New Hampshire, and we did that against Merrimack. I thought Manhattan, we were pretty consistent with the effort that we gave, but we need to be better doing that.
All right, the schedule is Monmouth is next, so that's the most important game as far as you're concerned, followed by a couple of CC teams, CCSU, Central Connecticut, and then the Division III matchup against CCNY to close out the non-conference part of the schedule. Then it's back into the conference the rest of the way. You play St. Peter's on December the 29th. So I'll ask you a question by actually stating something. I imagine, based on what you've told us here today, over these next three games, Monmouth, Central Connecticut, and CCNY, what's most important to you is seeing consistency on a game-to-game basis. If you get that, if you don't have the roller coaster effect over these next three games, you will feel much better, I'm asking, getting back into the MAC against St. Peter's on December 29th?
Yeah, we get more consistent play, you know, we have a better chance to win games. That's the most important thing. And it's not just individual. It's individual play and also collective play. Mm-hmm. So, to answer your question, Baba, if we can perform consistently, I'm going to feel good about where we're at. It gives us a chance to win.
Any keys, anything that, as a fan, if they're watching Fairfield, say, this Sunday against Monmouth, what are the things you're looking for in terms of getting to that that end goal of establishing the consistency you need?
Well, a couple places to improve defensively is transition defense and guarding without fouling. Inside play is going to be important because they're big and physical, so we're going to have to rebound and post-defend. And then offensively, taking care of the basketball, our turnover rate is a little bit too high. It's not astronomical, but it's a little bit too high. So we need to do a better job of handling the basketball and also getting ourselves to the foul line, you know, and making some more free throws. So those are the areas that I would love to improve in.
Any health updates? I know we joke about the this is the Lex Yetna portion of the program, but we ask you about Peyton and you know best. Any updates? And how is everybody else feeling? Everybody in a good space health wise?
Yeah, there's no real updates. You know, Peyton's still going through rehab and his running progression. Noah's back doing some non-contact stuff in practice, limited non-contact based on, you know, how he feels. So he's doing a little bit right now. So I'm hopeful within the next few weeks we can get him back. And those are really the two guys.
And what's your prognosis? when do you expect to start feeling better?
I'm fine.
you're toughing it out. It's pretty easy to see. Wouldn't you agree, Joe?
Oh, he's fine. He's been through the wars.
That's my way of saying it. Final words there, Joe.
I do have final words. I'm curious about Monmouth. I'm not done with my preparation, so maybe you can help me. But at the same time, I'm sitting here thinking you seem really high on your young guys and their effort. I think they're going to see more court time against Monmouth. This is just me. So is your preparation, your keys different? Like, what would your keys be knowing that you're going in with a younger – knowing you, you're going to give everyone a shot in practice and in a game, whether they're seniors, whether they're transfers, or whether they're freshmen. I'm just curious. Keys to Monmouth, and does the fact that you may be playing some young guys, does that change it? Or
yeah. Be honest with you, Joe, I've watched a little bit of Monmouth, but not a ton of them. You know, the game's not till Sunday, and, we spent yesterday, you know, I caught our film. We did a 50-minute film session on the Merrimack game. Then we practiced and lifted, and, you know, I practiced paying attention to us, particularly transition defense, and then I practiced yesterday or today doing the same, paying attention to us and working on some things, including transition defense that we need to work on. We'll be off tomorrow. Thursday, we'll do a little bit of Monmouth and start working that in. And then Friday also and Saturday also. From what I've seen, Joe, you know, keys are going to be physicality on the defensive end. You know, they're a little bigger, stronger, faster. That league's an athletic league. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I thought I saw with that conference right now, is ranked 9th in the country out of that with the first net rankings. I could be wrong, but I thought that's what I saw. You know, so they're coming from a good league. Knowing Kings teams, they're going to be physical. They're going to rebound. They play mostly man-to-man, so, you know, we have to get some easy ones in transition, get to the foul line, not turn the ball over. You know, so it would be the same type of keys regardless of who we play. you know, and some guys may get a shot, some guys may not get a shot. What helps me know who to play is consistent play. When you get consistent play, you know who's subbing when and you know, who to put in the game when. You're not always going to get that with younger guys. But I am encouraged by the fact that those guys brought us way back in that game Sunday. So, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing them in this game on Sunday, as I am the rest of the team, and, you know, looking to get some more consistent performances.
The fact that you guys came back from that 24-point deficit and actually had a chance in that game to take the lead speaks a lot about you. And what I'm setting up here is that I've been with a lot of Fairfield coaches over the years. And, Chris, you're the most optimistic and highest energy coach I've ever been around, and they feed off of that. But I do have to ask you, because you're off to an 0-2 start, I know you're optimistic and you have reason to be optimistic. Do the players that reflected in the comeback, obviously, they play really hard for you, but mentally, I mean, was there anger after the Merrimack game? And, you know, actually, Manhattan / Merrimack, was there anger? Was there was there, like, silence? What was the mood of the team? Do you have to, as a coach, boost them back up mentally is where I'm going with this.
Well, what I would say, Bob, is I boost them back up mentally when they need it, and I get after them when they need it too, you know? So you want to be as positive as you can, and I generally am, but you need things to be positive about, you know, so you're not just going to make things up to throw positivity out there. So, you know, after the Manhattan game, there was real disappointment in the locker room about the loss. This is a group that wants to win, so there was disappointment after the loss. Hopefully there was some learning about what it takes to win on the road. The same thing with Merrimack. A little more anger after the game, I think. And I didn't feel a need to boost up any egos or boost up anything. I was more like, hey, there's some things I'm going to say to you that, you know, without getting into details, that you need to know. Mm-hmm. And it was the same way in a film session on Monday. So, you know, there's certainly a time for being positive, and I try to be that as much as possible. But I'm not going to be positive about things that you can't be positive about. There's certain standards that you got to meet. And if you don't meet those standards, I'm going to hold you accountable to it.
So you spoke to players after the Merrimack game, and then the film doesn't lie. So you had probably what at times was a tough film session on Monday. Now you've practiced since then. We won't really know the answer to this question until we see the game on Sunday against Monmouth. But what kind of response early on in the post-MAC weekend have you gotten in practice?
Yeah, I thought we had two good practices yesterday and today. I thought they were very competitive. I thought guys got after each other. You know, and I honestly don't feel like we've had any bad practices this year. I think, you know, again, there's more of has to be an understanding from every guy about how hard it is to win at Division I basketball, mm-hmm. and how hard you have to play and how consistently you have to play hard to win Division I basketball games. And again, we need a couple guys on the perimeter to step up and give us more pop scoring the ball and, you know, more productive minutes. So, you know, those would really be the things I would say about that.
Joe, this is really the last chance for your final words.
Well, I did have a final question when I asked about Monmouth, but I'm just curious your thoughts on the Mets losing Diaz to the Dodgers.
Yeah, I'm worried about not re-signing Alonso too. You know, I don't know. We'll see what they come back. If Alonso ends up with the Red Sox, I'm going to be a little disappointed with that.
But for our listeners that don't know, Chris is a big big Mets fan. Joe's a big Yankees fan. That's Joe's way of saying, I got you.
No, it's not. It's not what his react. I think the Mets will respond with some more big spending, and they may not have a closer, but they'll somehow get better.
No.
That's what teams with money do.
Never a dull moment in either sport.
And to be honest with you, I can't criticize the Dodgers either, because I'd be a hypocrite. Steinbrenner did that for years with the Yankees.
Yeah, as I said, always something going on. Always something going on with Fairfield basketball as well, including hoping you get better fast, because, yeah, you are toughing it out. You're fine, you say, with hot tea, a couple of aspirin, and got to get some rest, Chris. A
couple of wins would help, too.
Yeah, probably vitamin W more than anything else, right?
Yeah, I'm fine, Bob.
Okay. That point's well taken. I get the message by now. So we'll say that'll do it for this edition of Open Court with Chris Casey. And remember to watch for Open Court Player Edition this time around with Declan Wooker-Fenech. And our next edition of Open Court will be a little later in the month than usual because of Christmas. Next time we'll join you is right after the St. Peter's game on the 29th as we get ready for the restart of the MAC season. So for Chris Casey, for Carlton Best, who is our engineer today, for the Fairfield Hall of Famer Joe DeSantis, I'm Bob Uessler. Thanks for listening to Open Court.